It is an honor for me to stand before you today and recount my experience with the great godly heritage of Appalachian Bible College. And there is no better time to celebrate our heritage than on Good Friday. These 4 days are the foundation of the church and body of Jesus Christ. They are the most important days to remember and celebrate all of the promises and mercies of God, all the fears and hopes of mankind converged in Jerusalem long ago on these 4 days. God showed up and worked the miracle of redemption. The moment of God's salvation was at hand. To the surprise of many, it came just as Isaiah 42 to 46 prophesied, in the form of a servant. Ichthus, Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus demonstrated the form of a true servant as our pattern of leadership and ministry. On Good Friday, Jesus was crucified, sacrificed as our Passover lamb, giving his life on Calvary for the sins of the world. On Anticipation Saturday, he lay in the grave as he passed through the waters of sin and death for us. And on Resurrection Sunday, the Lord burst forth, raising to newness of life. By conquering sin and death, he validated his salvific work on the cross, making sure our redemption, offering freedom, forgiveness, and eternal life to all those who would believe and follow him. Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which the heritage of ABC is built. There is no other lasting foundation to build on. As the chorus of the Solid Rock says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Using the verses in Timothy 2 and 4, I want to describe the 4 major elements of a godly heritage and vision in simple terms so that you can understand ABC's development and with its heritage, how it works, how important it is to embrace and to let it shape your ministry as you share the gospel of Jesus and pass on the vision of ABC to faithful men and women who will continue spreading our legacy and our heritage. These 4 are standing on the promises. The first one is preparation, the element of preparation, standing on the promises of Christ. It is aligning one's vision with the revealed Word of God by enlisting, being trained and disciplined to run your leg of the race. The second one is pressing on. Running the race, faithfully serving with endurance toward the goal and finishing the course. How we run. The third one is passing it on. Handing off the baton, leaving a legacy, cheering on those who run after us from heaven's arena. You know, the key to a vision becoming a heritage is giving others that legacy, passing it on to them. And finally, my favorite, having a passion for God. If you don't prepare without, if you prepare without a passion, it doesn't go anywhere. If you press on, it gets old without a passion. And if you pass it on, well, it's not going to go very far. You're not going to give it with much oomph. A passion for God. And that's, you know, it's best expressed through a song. I've noticed that the passions that I have deeply inside of me always come out liking a certain song that sort of embodies that passion. And a song's important. And y'all, you have to memorize songs. We just sang one, Ancient Ways, Ancient Paths. But one I thought of as I was writing this was this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You know, it's just a passion that comes out in song. I encourage you to keep doing that, having a song. You know, our heritage developed from the vision and legacy of a man sold out to God, who ran and finished his leg of the race well, Dr. Lester Pipkin. As he grew in the Lord, he developed a passion for studying and teaching the Bible and for training others to proclaim the Word of God clearly. About the same time, down in West Virginia, they always say down in West Virginia. You've ever noticed that? They all say up in West Virginia. Down in West Virginia, a small town of Pettus, Reverend Robert Gulick had a vision to see a Bible school established in Appalachia for the express purpose of training men and women in the Word of God and in the gospel ministry. God thought, I've got to get those two guys together and put flesh and bones to this marvelous vision. God made this happen, and the rest is history. Aha. This meeting and this school did not just appear, however. It required hard work, daily prayer, and a constant dependence upon God. Hard work, work so. Work hard, pray hard, trust God. Let me show you how God worked in Lester Pipkin's life to prepare him as a willing servant to lead and shape this vision into Appalachian Bible Institute. Because life is for service. Celebrating the heritage of Appalachian Bible College and remembering the days of its founder, Lester Pipkin, is what we do this week each year. Because life is for service, following in the footsteps of Jesus. Lester was led to the Lord at age 15 by an evangelist, Paul Hutchins. It's a good place to start your vision. And he also was part of a church, Bethel Baptist Church, in South Denver, where Lester grew spiritually and where people worked with him. He headed off to Moody Bible Institute, where he was prepared and where his vision was actually honed. Intentionally, of course, in 1936, in ministry. He worked under Cicero Bible Church, one of the big churches there in Chicago at the time. You can see him on the left. He took a Sunday school class of 5 and built it to 65 in 4 months. Here he's showing with his Uncle Raymond while holding meetings in Colorado. 1939, he graduated. And after graduation, he went to Calvary Memorial Chapel in Wayzata. You know, they always have funny names up north. I don't know why. But he also married Gretchen that year, Gretchen Hartz, and he was ordained as God began to work in his life. Here we have a picture of him preaching, studying, and just looking smooth. He was always well-dressed. There he is. Yeah. Okay, except when he was having fun. Notice he's being dragged through the lake with his Sunday best on still, especially his pants, you know. Did he ever wear shorts? In 1945, he moved to Wolf Pit, Kentucky, to become Dean of Education at Southland Bible Institute. So he has a wide variety of activity and service in his life as he prepares, God prepares him for his ministry here. After he was there, he moved to Solway to complete his education, and he did it at Bemidji State Teachers College. There he was also pastoring. And then right after that, he received the call from Bob Gulick, and they returned to the Appalachian Mountains to begin ABI in 1950 in Pettus. One of the things I like about this picture is wherever Dr. Pipkin went, his family went with him, and they learned his heart and his vision as they did that. In 1955, they made the decision to move to Bradley, and in doing so, they had to raise money, and they had a special plan, which I thought was unique. It was called the Dollar Plan. Don't give $5, don't give $100, and please don't give $10,000. Really. Just do it 10,000 different times. Okay, $1. And I thought that was really important. And there at Bradley, the dedication was, of course, by no one else but Senator Robert C. Byrd. Boy, Robert Byrd was a real blessing and has been through the years. Now he's not any longer, but great man for us as he represented us politically. And then, boy, this is a wonderful picture of the president and his men. One of the reasons for Lester's success is he was able to get men of quality to buy into his vision because they were heading the same direction with God. Van Pufflin, Pipkin, Perdue, Bukema, Hanber, Pinter. These men were the men that trained me. They were great men. I don't know who's, oh yeah, Perdue's the youngest one there. I was thinking that Dr. Pinter was. Dr. Pinter was young one time, you know that? And he was impressive always. Leadership with a style all his own, Dr. Pipkin. But one of his crowning moments came right here, passing on the baton of leadership. The key to a ministry's success is the quality of one's successor. Notice sitting over there on the left with that funny smile on his face. That is Dr. Dan Anderson. And this was his inauguration day as the president of ABC. Truly, Lester was a man for all occasions. May your tribe increase, Lester. Pass the vision on. Why? Because life is for service. And that's one of the best mottos you could ever have and pass on. What is this idea we call the heritage of ABC? In the Bible, the heritage of God often refers to a gift given to those who follow His heart, His vision, His word. Let me recall ABC's vision for you. The vision of Appalachian Bible College is to be a quality, fundamental ministry of biblical higher education by training students through a truth-driven curriculum and transformative co-curriculum that prepares Christ-like servants who are skilled in interpreting, obeying, and proclaiming God's word for the global spread of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and to strengthen and the strengthening of His church, and impacting the church with Christ-centered ministries which challenge people through God's word to wholly follow Christ. Wow, that's why we invented our motto. To put it in words that are practical for each of our lives, because life is for service. Since ABC's vision is a reflection of God's vision, our heritage will reflect the heart and redemptive plan of God. Why? Because one's heritage is the embodiment and outworking of one's vision. Though our heritage includes buildings, developed property, various ministries, workable programs, and proven methods, these are just tools that are used to enhance one's heritage. A true heritage is formed by the vision of bold men and women who sacrifice all, enduring the struggles with tenacity to plant a ministry that grows and accomplishes the work of God. It involves their character, their wisdom, their stick-to-itiveness. A heritage forms when disciples begin to walk in the steps of those who have trained them, embracing their vision, pressing forward to gain the prize. And when the baton is passed on, student becomes teacher, the guardian of the heritage, carrying on in the same vision and passion because God has worked in their life. And to them, the vision must go on. Behold, a heritage takes place. I had the privilege of being here in person when Reverend Gulick and Dr. Pipkin's vision became a reality, the reality of Appalachian Bible Institute. I remember when they bulldozed the hill to make level ground on which to build the main administration building. I was there when they poured the footers and the concrete floors, when they put up the cinder blocks to make the rooms and the walls. But my experience was a little bit different. I played hide-and-go-seek in the rooms. I jumped in the mud. I ran through the rafters. I was there because my dad helped build the original buildings of ABC. And, well, my life was a little bit different. You know, I went there because of the fun. What could I say? And because I had no choice, I couldn't drive. I was only 6 years old. The heritage of ABC was woven into the fabric of my heart. It was planted there by my mother and my father, E.H. Pete Fisher and June Fisher. My parents became Christians the year I was born. Not that I drove them to it. Just want you to know, they became Christians before I was born, in 1949. Around 1952, my parents began to want more of God. My dad's brother said, "Well, there is this new thing going on downtown Charleston. They call it a Bible study." My mom and dad visited the Bible study that very week. The leader's name was Reed Jepson. He was a graduate of Prairie Bible Institute. He began to teach and disciple my parents. My mother also signed up for the training and soon began to teach child evangelism clubs. Yes, she used me as her guinea pig. By the time I was 4 years old, I had memorized all the Bible verses and songs used by child evangelism. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. He forgave my sin and He saved my soul. What else did He do? He cleansed my heart and He made me whole. Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Hey guys, you got to carry songs. They're the passion of your heart put to words. You know, I remember those days. But I lost my place here. I got so excited about singing that song. Okay. My mom and dad yearned for more of God. At the same time, Reed Jepson's ministry grew and he founded the City Bible Center. He then asked Lester Pipkin to drive over from Pettus and teach evening Bible classes as an extension of ABI. Of course, Lester came. My mom and dad enrolled immediately. That is when I first saw Dr. Pipkin. To me, he seemed to be a tall man. He walked and carried himself like a king. And when he spoke, it was as if he was speaking the very words of God. I must admit, as a boy, I had an awe respect for Dr. Pipkin. He was an imposing fella. At the same time, my parents were taking extension classes. My dad, Pete, preached in small country churches and actually started a Bible study in our home in Cross Lanes under the auspices of the City Bible Center. It grew in leaps and bounds, and before long, they decided to form a church. It became known as Cross Lanes Bible Church. It was that year that my dad decided to leave DuPont, Bell Works, and serve God full time. But he had no formal theological training. So in 1955, he applied to ABI and then enrolled in the class of 56. He decided to move to Beckley and to attend the school, but we couldn't sell our house. So we prayed hard, and God began to work. Meanwhile, Dad needed a job just about the time Prosperity Fundamental Baptist Church was seriously looking for a new pastor. My dad prayed some more and felt convinced that he could pastor Prosperity while the ABI faculty trained him. After all, he was an experienced leader. He had been in the military police in World War II and recently was the spokesman of the Pipefitters Union at DuPont. So he candidated at Prosperity and received the call to pastor the church. We sold our house and moved to Prosperity. God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. God answers prayer. I witnessed it firsthand. Ironically, Dr. and Mrs. Pipkin became members of Prosperity Fundamental Baptist Church. Lester's wife, Gretchen, became the church pianist. I just can't help but smile when I think of my dad and Lester working together peacefully. One of the things that brought the heritage of ABI to life for me was a song that Mrs. Pipkin wrote. It was first entitled ABI Prayer. It was sung at my dad's graduation ceremony in 1959. I sang it for the first time there. I hold before you the 1959 yearbook, The Gleaner. And in The Gleaner is a copy of that song, which was sung at that graduation. It's actually written in the handwriting of Gretchen. The title has been shifted and changed. The verses have been rearranged, and some of the words have developed to modern-day application. But here's what the third verse reads like. Establish, strengthen ABI, from evil keep her free. This is third verse. May her doctrines, Lord, and witness, Lord, must pleasing be to thee. And the riches of thy grace bestow on her, we pray, and keep her watching, working, Lord, until the coming day. Man, I really love this song. This wonderful song has inspired me to press on through the storms of life, to stand firm in the grace of God, and to do the work of the ministry to which I was called. It also makes me proud to be a graduate of ABC and to carry on her heritage. As you probably just guessed, I cannot sing our song these days without tears clouding my vision, halting my voice, because my mind is flooded with so many memories and connections of what God has done for Lois and me. It binds me to the mission and to the vision and to the passion of ABC. Every vision needs a song. With a song in your heart, we can press on with confidence and courage. My parents loved Dr. Pipkin and supported his vision and ministry at ABC till they were promoted to God's home office. And so, ABC's heritage became part of my heritage. I learned to climb on the shoulders of my dad and Dr. Pipkin so I could see what they saw, physically and spiritually. All of my young life, I was associated with Appalachian Bible Institute because of my parents' passion for service. They prepared me and they trained me in the way I should go. When I graduated from high school in 1967, I decided to attend ABC as a student. I enrolled and began a new adventure that prepared me further to do the work of sharing the gospel. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 became my life focus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. My training at ABI became the foundation of my calling and service. The faculty taught me to stand on the Word of God. Every godly vision and heritage, once again, must stand on the Word of God. The faculty prepared us to use the Word of God as a light to guide our pathway. They instilled in my heart godly disciplines and trained me in the art of ministry and teaching. Two of my favorite teachers are still here with us, Dr. Joseph Pinter and Dr. Earl Parvin. They did what teachers should always do, inspire as they teach, sharing their passion and their knowledge. I experienced many defining moments at ABC that shaped my thinking and set the trajectory of my life. I would like to share three with you. The first came when I was a junior. One of my spiritual heroes, Reverend Norm Niemeyer, who attended ABI with my dad and became a missionary to Trinidad, led a spiritual life conference for the students. He spoke of ministry challenges that he faced on the mission field. He said the greatest challenge for a missionary was maintaining a close relationship with God. Then he said, "It's hard to be effective and excited about the work of the Lord over the long haul when your commitment to the Lord Himself wanes and your love grows cold. The most important thing is to keep your heart aligned with Jesus and your love for Him alive and well." You know, his message touched my heart. And I realized I was filling my head with spiritual knowledge and Bible trivia, but somewhere I had left my heart behind. That evening I went on a walk with God and got my heart right with Him somewhere out by Lake Pipkin. If your heart isn't right, you're not building a true heritage or ministry. You're just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. A second defining moment came when I was a senior. William Kennedy had accepted the call to serve at ABC on the Bible faculty and as dean of men. His first year, he taught a new course, How to Study the Bible. I learned that he had been trained by Howard Hendricks of Dallas Theological Seminary, and I wanted to take that course so badly, but it was only offered to freshmen. I was disappointed. However, I had two freshman roommates, and it so happened they were struggling with their Bible study homework. So I made a deal with them. If they would share their books, their class notes, and their assignments with me, I would help them pass the course and understand what Dean Kennedy was trying to teach them. Sneaky. So I mentored them while I learned this new approach to the Bible. The Bible study method was called inductive Bible study, focusing on the literary structure of a book, its context, and flow of thought. The process was organized into four steps: observation, interpretation, correlation, and application. I was so excited. This process invigorated me to study the Bible over and over. Once again, ABI had reinvigorated me to undersee and understand the joy of Bible study for personal enrichment, spiritual meditation, and lesson preparation. What a heritage to build your life on. The faculty and staff were not only intentional about teaching spiritual disciplines, they also taught us how to organize our time, how to exercise our bodies, how to relax and have fun. They planned intramural sports, game nights, date nights, and funny faculty drama nights. You know, Bob Jones had its professional opera, but ABI had semi-professorial... I'm going to say this three times. It's like pickled peppers, you know. Semi-professorial musicals. Can you say that? Semi-professorial musicals. Hey, I hope you still have these. A favorite memory is the night the faculty performed their interpretation of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. It was the song, or should I say the march, that lingers in my mind. I still think they were making fun of us. It went something like this: hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to school we go. We study some, but we're still dumb. Hi-ho. Hi-ho, 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 it's off to school we go. We study some, but we're still dumb. Hi-ho, hi-ho. They sang it over and over as they marched around the stage. And we laughed to our sides hurt and found ourselves thinking, they're making fun of us. But they healed us from the academic blues with their humor. They love us. You ever come to that conclusion? It's like shocking. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. On activity nights, we played rotation battleship, tiddlywink basketball. Bet you never played that in college. Okay, memory games, and especially Rook. Oh, Rook was a favorite. On those lazy afternoons and during study hours. That is until they discovered that many students of the male persuasion had a rook addiction. As a result, they banned rook, forcing students to find other acceptable forms of pastime entertainment, or more importantly, to begin studying once again. Did I mention the date nights? By the way, there were girls at ABI when I attended, although we were urged to think of them as our sisters. During one of these relaxing dates, Valentine's Day to be precise, my third defining moment happened. I met Lois Oringer. Aw. That's funny, okay. I really enjoyed our time together. I spent more date nights with her. Sometimes something began to grow in my heart. Love had awakened. That magic moment changed my life forever. I had found my soulmate. Of course, before that moment, I didn't even know what a soulmate was. But it happened. And in 1972, Lois and I were joined in holy matrimony. Amen. We began to walk together with God's guidance to pursue our calling in His service. As we continued to build on the foundation and heritage provided by ABC, we discovered that God still leads and works within and through us to accomplish His redemptive purpose. Lois and I finished our baccalaureate degrees from Bryan College and Bob Jones University, respectively, before enrolling in Dallas Theological Seminary. The teaching and spirit of men like Dr. Penner, Carrie Perdue, Bill Kennedy, all graduates of Dallas Seminary, inspired me to link the heritage of ABC in my life to that of DTS. As God would have it, Dan and Rosalie Anderson also came to study at Dallas Seminary a little bit later. It did my heart good to be with them again. While I was still at DTS, I committed myself to praying for Dan Anderson and his possible future role with ABC from that day onward. You know, God keeps moving in wonderful, mysterious ways, bringing things together for the advancement of His plan to restore mankind. And ABC continues to play a part in God's grand plan. The Institute continued to grow. In 1978, the Board of Directors changed the school's name to Appalachian Bible College, which reflected the four-year degree curriculum chosen by most students. In 1983, I had the privilege of personally witnessing the third stage of developing a heritage at ABC, the successful passing on of the ministry baton. This is a ministry baton. That's what they all look like. You ever seen one? It's blue. Okay. Every vision and heritage prepares to pass on the baton of leadership. That's what makes it a heritage. Dr. Lester Pipkin placed the leadership mantle of ABC onto Dr. Anderson in the inauguration ceremony held in the East parking lot then, in front of Des Plaines Hall, and the gift goes on. After graduating from Dallas Seminary in 1976, Lois and I spent 4 years in missionary work in Ontario, Canada. We had entered the second stage of cultivating or passing on a godly heritage, joyfully doing the work of the ministry and pressing on. By the time we finished our ministry in Canada, Lois and I were proud parents of two wonderful children, Amanda and Sean, heritage gifts from God. In 1980, I accepted a call to pastor Poland Village Baptist Church in Poland, Ohio. There, God was at work in our lives in many ways. In 1981, Moody Bible Institute asked me to teach part-time in their extension school program. And then in 1983, the same year that Dr. Anderson became president of ABC, Moody Bible Institute hired me to administer and teach full-time in their distance learning program. I became a regional director and faculty member of MBI, eventually serving as professor of biblical studies. Once again, I walked where Dr. Pipkin had trained and honed his vision at Moody Bible Institute. The way God works in our lives is very interesting. I served with Moody for over 30 years. Lois also taught at Willow Hill Christian School building on what she learned at ABC. Lois influenced many families to follow God and taught many children the ways of Christ. Both Lois and I also poured into our own children. Amanda followed in our footsteps, attending ABC and graduating in 1999. She has served the Lord faithfully, training her five children to walk in godliness. Sean graduated from Moody Bible Institute in 2002 and also serves the Lord, helping people to walk again as a physical therapist and a witness for Christ. Passing on the vision is rewarding. 3 John 4 expresses the hope of our vision. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. In 2010, I retired from MBI. Lois and I moved to Akron, Ohio, and I joined the pastoral staff of Grace Church of Greater Akron. We spent 8 years there with Grace Church, Lois ministering to our interns and pastors' wives, and I helped develop a Bible school and seminary. In 2019, I fully retired and began to focus on preparing my grandchildren to pass on in God's call for their life. I am now engaged in passing on the vision and heritage of ABC to those I love most. And it's bearing fruit. This past summer, Logan Wiley, our grandson, worked with Alpine Ministries, sharing Christ while doing what he loves, rock climbing and water rafting. Logan grew in the Lord and caught a glimpse of ABC's vision, because life is for service. Or as my son, Sean, says, I live to give. Every heritage worth passing on needs a good motto that concisely captures the focus and heart of the vision. Because life is for service has become a motto of mine and my son's. I received my servant's towel in 1994. Yes, 1994. Ken just asked me today, when did they start handing these out? Well, we'll find out in the next fellow that comes by. Okay. But in 1994, I received my towel, and I've cherished it ever since. Matter of fact, I was thinking about wearing it today right here, but I wanted to show it to you. Okay. Whenever I return to ABC, I must admit, I feel like a missionary coming home on furlough, because I don't live here anymore. It was here that Lois and I first fell in love with each other and together with Jesus Christ. It was here that we first drank from the wells we did not dig and partake of the fruit of trees that we did not plant. It became our home, the source of our heritage, filled with deeply rooted memories of beloved teachers who sacrificed for us, of fellow students who have prayed for us and partnered with us through the years of ministry, and of the encouragement that we shared and received to gain strength to endure, to remain faithful, and to finish the race. It's always good to come home. That's why I like to stress these four things. Make sure your preparation and training is on the Word of God. That's where a true heritage is founded. Make sure that you press on serving God faithfully as He showed us. And make sure that you don't forget to pass it on. When you've finished your leg of the race, pass it on to someone who will finish their leg of the race, and on and on and on. And finally, never forget the passion. The best way to keep a passion alive is to have a song in your heart that reflects the vision of your heart. Thank you, ABC, for the vision, for the education and training that gifted Lois and I with such a wonderful heritage. Thank you for the solid foundation grounded in the Word of God that you helped build for my parents, for Lois and myself, and for our children and grandchildren, preparing us to press on and pass on the passion to love God and follow Jesus by serving others. Thank you for sharing with us the secret sauce of a godly heritage. By the way, the secret sauce is sacrifice mixed with humility and faithful service. Well, that's my story. Someday I hope all of you have such a story to recall, to be proud of, and to share. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Father, for those who have gone before us. At ABC, we thank you for Dr. Lester Pipkin and Robert Gulick as they laid before us a vision and began to develop it. We thank you, Father, for those men who joined this vision and together formed a wonderful team, a faculty and staff that was able to bring about this vision and create a heritage out of it, one that we can become part of and joyfully share with those around us. Facing the difficulties, learning to sacrifice, looking forward to the well done by God and Jesus in heaven. Thank you so much for those who have gone before us, Father. And now we ask that you use us in our ministries as we go forth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.